Praise the Lord. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we want to spend time in the Word of God. And we're going to be all over chapter 24 this morning, but we're going to start at verse 30. So Luke 24, verse 30. And when you've found your place, if you're able, will you stand with me, please? We're going to pray together. And after we're done praying, then I'm going to read. So if you'll remain standing after we pray, all right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time together to celebrate our Savior who is alive. Thank you for the time that we've had to worship you, to sing praises, to pray together, to study the Word in our classes, just everything that we've done. We pray that you have gotten glory, that Christ has been magnified, and that the saints have been worshipful, that we have honored and glorified you in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for your Spirit that stirred up in us today. And Lord, we pray that if anyone here or anybody watching online today has never been born again, we pray today would be the day that they would trust Christ alone as their Savior, have eternal life, and then follow the one who died for them and rose again. Help us to be genuine disciples, Lord, not just Christians in name only, but that we would be genuine followers of Jesus, walking with you day by day. Please bless the reading of your word now, the preaching, help me. I am nothing without you, and I can do nothing without you, and I pray for your help today. Teach us by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Please stay standing. Verse 30 says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." Amen. Please be seated. Can you fix that? Good luck. Luke 24 is one of my favorite post-resurrection scriptures. And if you're not familiar with it, I hope you'll know it well by the time we leave here today. Jesus is sitting at meat, or what we might say dinner, with a couple of disciples, but Jesus had met them after his resurrection and he had hidden himself from them. So they were walking and talking with Jesus, but they didn't know who he was. So we can go back and check that out at verse 13. So back up to verse 13 and look at this. So this is after the resurrection. Jesus has been crucified. He had been buried rapidly that day that he was crucified, and then he had spent those days and nights in the tomb. And on the third day, the women came to try to anoint the body of Jesus. They wanted to give him a proper burial because he had been rushed to Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus had rushed to get Jesus in the tomb, and now they want to give him a proper burial. So after resting on the Sabbath, they come, and they're worried about it on their way to the garden. They go to the place where they saw him buried, and they're worried about how they're going to get that huge stone out of the way so that they can anoint Jesus' body properly. And so they're talking about how they're going to do that when they get there. But when they show up, the tomb is already opened. Amen. Because Jesus had already risen. Amen. They meet angels there that tell them that he's not here, he's risen, just like he told you. They tell those ladies to go and tell the disciples that he's risen. And there's a lot behind all of that. A lot of critics say that the Bible can't be true, but I want to tell you just one small evidence that we know it's true. No one in the ancient world would ever include the testimony of women to prove something as fact. That seems incredulous to some of you, or offended already by those ancient people, but they would never do that. The testimony of women wasn't something that you would put out there, but that's exactly what the Bible does. Amen. And our Savior, he takes away all the division between all kinds of people, between Jews and Gentiles, between men and women, all the races that we have in the world, there's no division in Christ. Amen. In Christ, we're all one. Amen. And so the women come and they see the empty tomb. They go to tell the disciples. Immediately after that, Mary Magdalene, who had been forgiven much, had been cleansed much, Jesus meets her in the garden. And then the other women meet John and Peter as they're running back to the garden, and they tell them, but John and Peter don't believe. And I love John's account. If you'll read it in John, he says that Peter and John run, and the other disciple, that's John, he runs faster than Peter. That's inspired scripture.
Amen.
You just know this stuff's true, right? John's writing, he's like, just so you know, I ran faster than Peter. Just so you know, I got there first. He says it a couple of times. And so they come and they find the tomb empty. And Brother Carl just sang a beautiful song about that. When they come to the garden and they look and he's not there and they don't know what's going on. And in the meantime, somewhere in between that account and what we read in just a moment, the Lord appeared to Simon Peter. And so Peter knew he had seen, not only had he heard from the women, not only had seen the empty tomb, but Peter saw the risen Savior.
Amen.
And he knew he was alive. And so we come to verse 13. It says, behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So these are two disciples, followers of Jesus, and Jesus, and they're walking to Emmaus. They're going a little ways away from Jerusalem. They're talking about everything that's gone on, and this guy walks up and starts traveling with them. And in those days, that happened a lot. People walked everywhere, and other people would travel together. They would meet people and talk along the way. But Jesus hides their eyes from knowing that it's Jesus, and he's talking with them. And he says in verse 17, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he, Jesus, said unto them, what things? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive.
Amen.
And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. So now you get the context of what's going on. These disciples walking along get to see the risen Savior, and they don't even know that it's him at first. Jesus upbraids them. He rebukes them because they didn't believe. He said, didn't you know the scriptures? The scriptures told you that Christ, Messiah, was going to suffer, that he was going to be buried, that he would rise again. The Old Testament testified of that. Jesus himself told them plainly before he ever went to Jerusalem that last week. He said, the Son of Man has to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things of the Pharisees and the Jews. He's going to be delivered to the Gentiles. He'll be crucified and rise again the third day. He told them detailed events that were going to happen, but they didn't understand and they didn't believe. But now they've seen him themselves. They've seen him themselves. I really want to focus in today. And just think about this real quick. Jesus begins at Moses and all the prophets and expounds to them all the things in the scriptures concerning himself. We've been trying to study some of those things on Wednesday nights for months, and it's just overwhelming how much of the Old Testament points straight to Jesus. Can you imagine that sermon? I mean, they're just walking along talking, and Jesus is explaining, just pulling scripture. He's got it memorized. He knows it. And he's telling them, you know, this passage right here, that's about this. And this passage right there, that's about me. And this, that's about me. And he's just walking through. Can you imagine what that was like? I mean, most of us have no idea how awesome it would have been to hear Jesus preach. We're kind of got it rough these days, the preaching we get to listen to. But they got to hear Jesus. So he goes through all that, then they sit down, and he's made known in breaking of bread. But focus with me for a few minutes this morning on verse 34. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So when he breaks bread with them and he gives it to them, they know who he is. And as soon as they know who he is, he vanishes out of their sight. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Their spiritual eyes are opened, their eyes are opened, and then he physically vanishes out of their physical sight. So when they have understanding spiritually, he disappears physically. Amen. Now you and I, we don't see Jesus physically. Amen. But we see him by faith. Amen. See him by faith. Amen. Hearing Jesus is alive after his death and burial is not the same as being certain that he is risen. Amen. Hearing that Jesus is alive is not the same as being certain that he is alive. These disciples were made certain. They said, the Lord is risen indeed. That word indeed has that idea. It means really, certainly, of a truth. It's when Jesus would say verily, that's what he was saying, verily. So verily, truly, indeed, certainly, Jesus is alive. And this certainty was a result of seeing him, but not just seeing him, but knowing him. Did you notice that it said that he was made known in the breaking of bread? That he was known of them, verse 35, of in breaking of bread. So not only did they see him, but they knew him. Amen. We read earlier this morning at the sunrise service from John 20, verse 26. Verse 26 in John 20 says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were with him and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. This is a week after the resurrection. The first time Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, Thomas wasn't there. And they told them that they had seen him. And Thomas is like, listen, unless I touch his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. But Jesus appeared in the room. The door's closed. You guys get that, right? Just like he vanished from the other ones, he appeared in the middle of the room. Amen. Now, would you be astonished? Yeah. I mean, if Jesus just appeared right here in the middle of the room right now, we would all be a little afraid. That's why he said, peace be unto you. Amen. Some of you, somebody just walks up behind you, they don't know they're there. They're like, hey, and you're like, ah! Right? But if somebody just appears out of thin air, that would really be frightening. So that's why he says, peace, peace be unto you. And Thomas, he says to him, come here, Thomas. You said you wouldn't believe unless you touch. You wouldn't believe unless you feel. But I don't think that Thomas even took a step. I think right where he stood with his mouth open, I think it's very likely he fell down on his knees. But I know what he said, my Lord and my God. And listen to what Jesus says next. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Amen. I've never seen Jesus, but I believe. Amen. Amen. I didn't see the empty tomb. I've never been to Israel. There's a couple of different places where they suppose that that was the actual tomb. I don't even know if they've got that right. I've never seen the empty tomb. I've never seen Jesus physically with my eyes, but I have seen him by faith.
Amen.
And I know him by faith.
Amen.
We sang earlier, I serve a risen Savior. It says in that song, I know that he is living. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart.
Amen.
Now, I know Jesus because of the scriptures. This testimony is how I know God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how I know. But I also know him because I know him. I had a chance at work the other day to witness to a man, and he has a belief in God. He's not sure what to do with Jesus, and he wanted to know. He asked me point blank, how I don't think anybody's ever asked me this. He's like, how do you know? How do you know Jesus is alive? How do you know that Jesus is real? How do you know that he's actually the Savior? And so we talked about the scriptures. We talked about his death and resurrection. We talked about the testimony of the people who saw him. I mean, you think about these men that Jesus appeared to here. Every one of them would die a martyr's death. Every one of them would die testifying that Jesus was alive, and they would die because of it. They would die because they were unwilling to say Caesar is Lord. They would only say Christ is Lord. And they would give their lives for that, and they would go to their graves many times being tortured before they died, and they would never recant. They couldn't, because they knew. They knew him. So we talked about some of those things, but at the end, I just told him I know him. I talked to this man in his home, and he talked to me about his wife, told me about his wife. He said, listen. I said, listen, I know Jesus because I know him. I know him because he's made me alive. He lives inside of me. I know him. I said, you've been talking to me about your wife. I've never seen your wife. I don't even know that she exists. I don't know her. I said, but you know her, and you love her, and she knows you. I may never have seen Jesus, but I know him.
Amen.
And he knows me.
Right.
And he's made himself known to me by faith. The Lord is risen.
Amen.
Indeed. He is truly alive. Now, most of you in this room have been in church services. You've heard the gospel story. You've heard of the death and resurrection of Jesus many times. Most of you in this room have heard the gospel lots of times. But I want you to get this. Hearing that Jesus is alive, hearing that he died for you and rose again, is not the same as being certain. You have to believe. And please hear me. Because your grandma believes doesn't mean that you have faith, that you have life. Because your mom and dad believe doesn't mean that you have faith, that you're alive. Because your kids are saved doesn't mean that you're saved. Every one of us has to come to personal faith in Christ. And it's interesting when I meet believers everywhere I go, how instant I know and they know, because we have the same spirit in us. You guys experience that?
Yeah.
I mean, people from anywhere in the world, you meet them, and if they're a believer, you know, and they know.
Amen.
But if you're not a believer, I can't explain it to you. It may sound weird to you that I say I know Jesus, that I've seen Jesus by faith, or that I'm certain that he's alive, but that's what happens when you believe. He puts a spirit inside of you. You're indwelled by the Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you know that you know. That's what he does in our hearts. Hearing that Jesus is alive after his death and burial is not the same as being certain that he is risen. And my prayer for all of you today is that you would know. That you would know. Next, notice this. And I love that Brother Carl sang that song. Verse 34 ends with this, and hath appeared to Simon. Well, why is Simon keep getting singled out? This is Simon Peter. He is Cephas. He's known by many names. He's got lots of aliases. He's like a Palmer. All the Palmers, they all got aliases. I don't know if that's responsive for something they've done or just preemptive for something they're going to do, but he's got lots of names in the Bible. Cephas, Peter, Simon. But this is Simon Peter, the one who denied Christ. Jesus told his disciples, you're all going to forsake me. You're all going to run away. And Peter says, I'll never run away. I'll never forsake you. Lord, I would die before I would ever deny you. And I can't imagine the look in Jesus' eyes when he turns and he looks at him and he says, Simon, before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me. Amen. Before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. It's going to happen. And I wonder if Peter's like us, and even though Jesus straight up looked him in the eyes and told him, if he was still like, not really. But it happened exactly like the Lord said it would. He denied the Lord. Somebody else accused him of being a follower of Jesus. He denied. The Bible says he went as far as to cursing to deny him. And then he meets his eyes with Jesus after he hears the rooster crow. At exactly that time, exactly the right time. You ever wonder how that worked? I heard a pastor say one time that he believed God sent down an angel to poke that rooster right at the right time. His eyes come up and meet Jesus, and he remembers his words. And the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. I wonder this morning if you've ever done anything that caused you to come to a place of repentance where you went out and wept bitterly. Where you've sinned against God in a way that it brings you to your knees, to your face, asking for forgiveness, that you cry with bitter tears over what you've done. Well, Peter was in that place. I've often wondered how he felt. But my Bible says that he appeared to Simon. As a matter of fact, when the Lord met Mary in the garden, he was singled out. He was singled out. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Amen. He singled out. See, the Lord is already extending that olive branch. The Lord is saying, you've already repented. I'm here. I want you to see me. And here he already had. In between meeting with the women and meeting with these two disciples on the way to Emmaus, he had met with Peter. And so they give this. I want you to just see this. It's encouraging to know that the Lord has made himself known to others. Amen. Especially people who have failed the Lord. You think about the worst things that people do in this world. Many times your mind automatically goes to rape or murder or adultery or whatever. But I'm telling you that Peter, over and over and over again, with venom, said, I do not know that man. Jesus, who called him. Jesus, who walked with him. Jesus, who fed the 4,000 and fed the 5,000. Jesus, who called the dead to life again. Peter got to be witness of all of that and more. Jesus, who he saw transfigured on the mountain, heard the voice of God. You remember Peter up there on the mountain of transfiguration? He's like, this is really good that we're here, and we should build a temple for you and one for Moses, one for Elijah. And the Bible says he just talked because he didn't know what to say. Anybody ever done that? Seriously, have you ever done that? Like your mouth is talking and you're like, why am I talking? Shut up, shut up. That was Peter. And God speaks from heaven and shuts him up and says, this is my beloved son, hear him. So Peter had experienced all of these things. It's Peter who got out and walked on the water. Amen. And now he's there being confronted, Jesus being arrested, and they say, you were one of his disciples. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him. Oh yeah, you're a Galilean. I know you were one of his disciples. I know not the man. And he keeps running from them. They find him again. Peter, yeah, you were one of them. And with cursing, swearing, he says, I do not know the man. Can you imagine? Most of you are all good American Christians here today. Good Southern American Christians. Most of you are good country American Christians. Could you imagine ever saying with your words, I don't know Jesus? Could you imagine saying to somebody, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know Jesus. Could you imagine saying that? But friends, I want to tell you, if you've never said it with your lips, you've said it with your life. We deny him with our lives. We live like we don't know him. We say we believe. We say the Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. We celebrate Easter, and rightly so. It's good that you're here today. It's good that you came to worship Jesus. It's good that you come to acknowledge the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. It's good. Amen. But I want to tell you something. It's not all that he deserves. It's not all that he asks. Amen. It's not all that he requires for us to honor him with our lives. We need to live for the one who died for us and rose again. Amen. Now let me be clear. I'm not saying you have to live a certain way to get to heaven. You're saved by faith alone. Amen. And we don't work in order to earn salvation. But God has freely given us salvation through his death and resurrection. And if you are saved, then you work because you are saved. Amen. You serve your Savior. You live for your Master. And even one who's denied the Lord, he'll come to you. And he'll make himself known to you. And you can live for the one who died for you and rose again. I'm thankful we have the rest of the record. Amen. Peter was foundational in the early church. It's Peter that we see preaching the main sermon. All of them went preaching Jesus on the day of Pentecost, but Peter is the one that we have record of his sermon, preaching Christ and him crucified. All through the New Testament, we have record of him faithfully serving God. Did he mess up from time to time? You bet. But he lived for the one who died for him and rose again. Amen. I suppose Peter probably felt like he could no longer follow his Messiah the way he had before. I would imagine his boasting of never denying the Lord turned into despair, feeling like he would never be able to live for him again. But the Lord is good and gracious. Amen. He's long-suffering, and he's full of mercy. Amen. And Peter, the denier, becomes Peter the forgiven. Peter was used greatly of the Lord, and I want to tell you today, you can be as well. You can be used of God no matter what you've done. Jesus is alive. Amen. He's risen indeed. Amen. He appeared to Simon. And hear me carefully, because I don't want you guys to think I've gone nuts. He's appeared to me too. Amen. Not physically. Not I haven't seen a vision or anything like that. But I see him in his word.
Amen.
I see him in my heart, and you can too.
Amen.
Why is that important? Well, the reality is, friends, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've been studying Romans on Sunday mornings, and we are seeing so clearly, God's word lays it out heavy, that we have all sinned. Whether you are a Gentile or you were a Jew that had the Bible, it doesn't matter. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all broken his commandments, and we're all guilty before God. And you might look at the world around you and say, it's not really that big a deal. But it will be a big deal in the end.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ judges the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. And if you die in your sin, the future for you is the lake of fire. But God loves you so much, he came and he paid the price for you so you could be born again. You'd have eternal life. But it's not just that, friends. Jesus in John chapter 8, I don't know why this verse has just stuck to me for so many years. But in John 8, Jesus is preaching. He's telling the people, a huge group of Jews, who he is. And the Bible says that the Jews that were hearing him, many of them believed on him. And in John 8:31, Jesus says to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Amen. The Lord is risen indeed. And if you want to be a disciple indeed, you have to continue in his word.
Amen.
You have to abide in his word, stay in his word, live in his word. So what's that mean? It means that I don't just worship Jesus on Sundays. It means I don't just celebrate Jesus on Christmas and Easter. It means that I'm going to walk with him day by day. It means that I'm going to be a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. I believe in Jesus, so I talk to Jesus. I pray. I believe in Jesus, so not only do I talk to him, but I hear from him because I read his word. Some of you say, well, I can't read very well. I got news for you. We are so without excuse today. How many of you have one of these? Anybody playing with it right now? It's my Bible app. It's not Candy Crush. I've got so many Bible apps on here. You know what's awesome? I can just hit play and it'll read it to me. By the way, God's word is made to be heard. I used to feel guilty for listening to it instead of reading it. That's silly. It's made to be heard. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. To hear it, read it, study it. What does that mean? That means I'm continuing in it. But it's not just talking to him and hearing from him. Listen, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, I want to tell you about two people here. One's a foolish man, and he builds his house on the sand. And the rains are going to come, and the flood's going to come, and it's going to beat on that house, and it's going to fall. You know who that is? That's the one who hears the word of Jesus but doesn't do it. But there's also a wise man. It's the one who hears my word and keeps it. The one who hears my word and obeys it. The one who hears my word, not only believes it, but continues in it.
Amen.
That's a wise man. He builds his house on a rock. And the rains are going to come and the flood's going to come and it's going to beat on that house, but it will not fall.
Amen.
Because it's built on a rock.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I see a lot of houses falling in America today. I see a lot of houses falling, lives falling, families falling in our community week after week, month after month. And they're falling because their lives are not being built on Christ and his word. And I want to warn you today, don't just hear it, believe it, and live it. You can't live it in your own strength. Can't live it in your own power. You have to die to yourself and be filled with the Spirit every single day. And when you do that, you can build your life and your family's lives on the rock.
Amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to end our service today with a song. And we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. God's Holy Spirit's convicted your heart. There's decisions you need to make to trust in Christ or whatever it might be. Maybe you've got some things going on in your life right now. The storms are beating on your life, and you feel like you're going to crumble. Jesus can give you the strength to stand. So if he's convicting your heart, there's anything, any response you need to make today, you do that while we sing.
Page 550.